The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 14, verse 8 to 12. It is page 211 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Amen. Darkness cannot be removed with a shovel or be pushed away with a bulldozer. Darkness does not go away because it is confronted with knives or guns. But no matter how deep the darkness is, it disappears on its own when there is light. A darkness cannot form light, and light and darkness are different in their essence. Therefore, when light, which is different in essence to darkness, is shown, it is only then that darkness disappears without any sound. Darkness by itself can never escape from it on its own. Adam and Eve, who sinned by falling into temptation of Satan, hid in the darkness among the trees in the garden. Now this was the darkness of sin and darkness of death, which is the wage of death. And they could not escape this darkness by themselves. What made them leave the darkness behind was the word of God. "Adam, where are you?" It was by this word of God that they were able to leave the darkness of sin and death in the garden. And here is the reason why we call God's words as the light. Only God's words can make men free from the darkness of sin and death. God spoke to Ezekiel in this way. "But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." God gave these words to Ezekiel, and when he gave these words, he did not only tell him to listen to his words. He continued to say to Prophet Ezekiel, that do not only listen to God's words with his ears, but to open his mouth and eat the words of God. The Israelites all professed to believe in God, but God called them as rebellious house. They were people who listened to God's words as mere vibrations in the air. They listened with one ear and let go with the other ear. Therefore, from the God's perspective, they could only be seen as being rebellious. The God's words is not just mere vibration in the ear, vibration in the air that they could hear with their ears only. By their power of hearing only, they can never have the capability to leave the darkness of sin and death behind. That God commanded Prophet Ezekiel to listen to God's words means that God's words were not meant to be just listened to with words, but it is something that we are meant to accept with all of our body, that a person eats something means to become governed by what you eat. If you drink alcohol, then you will come under the influence of alcohol. If you drink in poison, that means that you voluntarily push yourself to become ruled by this poison. If you take in nutrition, it is making nutrition, which is good for your body, to govern over you. That God commanded Ezekiel to eat the words of God meant that God commanded Ezekiel to have the words of God govern him. Because it is only the words of God that can overcome the darkness of sin and death and the darkness of all despair and loss of hope. That Ezekiel, who lost his country and was dragged to Babylonia as a captive, was able to that he was able to live as the pathway of life and light for other Jewish captives his whole life, rather than falling into disappointment and loss of hope, was not a coincidence. It was possible, it was a result of him not only listening to God's words with his ears, but because he ate the words with his mouth. Let us listen to what Ezekiel had said. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Ezekiel, who obeyed God's words and ate them and filled his stomach with it, confessed that the words were as sweet as honey. When Ezekiel had confirmed for himself how by eating God's words started to control him, and all loss of hope and despair that had caused him pain receded like a fog. When Ezekiel confirmed this, why wouldn't the words of God have tasted sweet like honey? When one feels that in that light of God's words, he, as insignificant as he is being used as a pathway of that light, why wouldn't the words taste sweet like honey? This is the inspiration, the grace that could only be experienced by someone who does not only listen to God's words with the ears, but who entrusts his entire being to the words. For the fourth week, we are looking at the paralytic man of Lystra. Now, he was a congenital paralytic who had never walked or stood since his birth. We do not know his exact age, but we know that he couldn't have been a child or an adolescent. The verse 8 of today's text calls him a person who cannot use his feet. And the Greek word aneru, which is translated as a person in our language, is a word that refers to an adult man. If he was somebody who had never once stood up or walked from the time of his birth until he became an adult. In other words, he was someone who had never once walked in his life And he was somebody who lived all that time as a layman, and somebody who was confined in darkness of despair and loss of hope, and who was very familiar with this darkness. The thought that he could escape that darkness probably never occurred to him. But Paul, when he met him, commanded him to stand up on your feet. And at the same time, that man jumped up and walked. The lame man who had been locked away in despair and loss of hope his whole life was released from the darkness he could never resolve on his own. How could such amazing thing happen? Let's take a look at verse 9. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. This amazing event of the congenital paralytic man standing up and walking began with this man listening to the words of God that Paul was delivering. If he had not listened to God's words, then this kind of amazing work of life would have never happened. I have said before that the verb listen in Greek in the today's text is in imperfect tense in the original text. It signifies that the man did not listen to God's words just for one moment or listened inattentively, but listened from the beginning to the end, every word, with his whole attention. Let's take a look at verse 9. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. What does it mean to say that Paul looked at this paralytic man and with his own eyes he saw that he had faith to be healed? It means that the paralytic man listened to God's words not only with his ears only, but ate them up with his entire being. When people eat something sweet, something bitter, something cool, something hot, something sour, something salty, something delicious or not so delicious, each of these experiences will be expressed by a different expression on their face. Therefore, when someone puts something in his mouth, his face and expressions will reveal what it is that he is eating. That Paul looked at him and he was able to see that he had the faith to be healed meant that this paralytic man did not stop at just listening to God's words with his ears, but ate the words with his entire body. Verse 10, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. That the paralytic man ate God's words meant that he entered into the governing of God's words. In other words, he entrusted himself to the God's words. Therefore, when Apostle Paul said to him, "Stand up with your feet," more precisely, when God commanded him to stand up on your feet through Paul, he was able to jump up and walk by the power of the God's words. When he ate God's words and entrusted entirety of himself to God,
좌절과 절망의 어둠으로부터 죄와 사망의 어둠으로부터 그를 해방시켜 주세요.
The words of God freed him from the darkness of his body, the darkness of loss of hope and despair, and further the darkness of sin and death that had imprisoned him. The salvation that the man gained that day was not only the salvation of his body, but salvation in its entirety, encompassing the deliverance of his spirit. Even if on that day the paralytic man had sat there, but had listened to God's words only with his ears, and did not try to eat God's word with his entire body. Then, like the rebellious Jews that God lamented over at the time of Ezekiel, the paralytic man would have lived as a man rebellious in his body, his heart and spirit, and his life will have ended as a rebellious life. In the same way that darkness cannot get rid of itself on its own, there is no one on this earth who is able to escape the darkness of body, the darkness of spirit, and the darkness of sin and death by himself. From this perspective, it is truly more important than anything that a Christian eats and swallows God's words every day and live under the governance of God's words. Because it is from that point that true faith will begin. The Bible, with the testimony of the paralytic man of Lystra, having stood up and walked by the grace of God, does not mention him again. So we do not know at all what kind of life he lived after today's passage. But there is one thing that we can say for sure in connection with his life. If this man who was able to stand up and walk, lived his life without losing the humble heart with which he lived at the time of his paralysis, even after he was able to walk, then he probably ate God's words his whole life and lived a beautiful life in which he shined the light of words with his life. But if he, for one moment, came to trust his power by which he was able to walk with his own two feet, then God's words, then his life would have returned to the state of darkness as before. David praised God's words in Psalm 19, verse 7 to 10 in this way. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statute of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart, and the command of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. David also was not somebody who only listened to God's words with his ears, but someone who considered God's words as his food and ate God's words every day. And he was someone who knew that the taste of the words is sweeter than honey. This was because he was able to experience that the darkness of the spirit, the darkness of his eyes, the darkness of his heart, the darkness of his body, the darkness of ignorance, being pushed away by the words of God. The reason that he, a mere unknown shepherd of Bethlehem, was able to overcome Goliath, the giant of Philistines, and became the king of Israel, loved by all people, was because he ate God's words and he entrusted himself to the governing of the words of God. But when he became intoxicated by the power of his throne and came to trust his power more than God's words, the moment he did that, he committed adultery with the wife of his faithful servant and even went as far as killing the man to establish his alibi. The minute he avoided God's words, a man as great as David had fallen to darkness. It is, of course, by returning to God's words again after Prophet Nathan reproved him that he was able to at last escape the darkness. Paul, who was used by God's instrument to raise up the paralytic man in today's text, later testified as follows in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the words of Christ. It says that the faith begins with listening to the words of the Lord. And here when the text says listening, it does not signify only listening with the words, but eating the words of God with one's entire life. It is because it is only when the words are eaten that the words can govern me, and the governing of the self by the words is the beginning point of faith. Now, initially, Paul was a child of darkness that turned his back on the Lord and trampled on the church. But when he was released from this darkness by the light of the word of God that captivated him, after that, until he was put to death by beheading, he never once, no, even while he was being beheaded, he did not commit the arrogance of turning his back on the words of God. Apostle Paul, while he lived, recorded 1/4 of the New Testament, or 1/3 of the New Testament, excluding the books of the Gospel. All of the letters he wrote to the believers at that time became the words of God. This was the result of Apostle Paul, after being captivated by the words of the Lord, eating God's words every day with his entire life. Didn't the great David, thrown into the bottomless pit of darkness in an instant by avoiding God's words? But how was it possible that Paul, for his whole life, was able to steadfastly remain as the person of the Word who always continually ate God's Word with his entire life. When the crowd saw that Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form," Acts 14, verse 11. Since a paralytic man jumped up and stood in public, how surprised the people who saw that must have been. They, putting aside the Latin, which was used as the common language in Roman Empire, and also Greek, which was commonly used, and shouted out in their own local language that God had come down to them in human form. This was because people believed at that time that the gods had the same form as men and lived lives that were same as men. Verse 12, Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. Now they called Paul Hermes. Hermes was a god that among the 12 gods who come out in Greek mythology, whom people believed served as the messenger, the spokesman for Zeus, the greatest of all gods. Now, on that day, the man who preached was Paul, and the man who commanded the paralytic man to stand up was Paul. So people who witnessed that scene assumed that he was the speaker, Hermes, for the mighty Zeus. What's interesting is that the people had called Barnabas Zeus. On that day, Barnabas had not performed any action. It was Apostle Paul who had delivered the God's words and raised up the paralytic man with the words of God. Barnabas was simply at the scene as a member of Paul's party, but people called Paul, who had actually performed all these actions, as Zeus, and called Barnabas, who didn't do anything, as Zeus. As I mentioned, Zeus is the greatest of the 12 gods who make their appearance in Greek mythology. Therefore, in pictures or movies about Greek myth, Zeus is always introduced as the most splendid of them all. Now, Paul had preached the God's words, and Paul was the one who had commanded the paralytic man to stand up, but the fact that the people sort of set Paul aside and called Barnabas the Zeus meant that in their eyes, Paul was far more unattractive than Barnabas. Therefore, they assumed that Barnabas, who had nice physical appearance, to be a greater god, and Paul, who was really unattractive as Hermes, the messenger of Zeus. Now, Paul referred to himself, referred to his appearance as follows. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he's unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Now, people used to criticize Paul that he was only good at writing, and in person he was actually unimpressive and not so good in speaking. The biography of Paul, written by an unknown writer in the second century, described Paul's physical appearance as being small in height, bald with bowed legs, eyebrows knitted together, and a hawk-like nose. Now, these eyebrows knitted together, and his nose was crooked like a hawk. So, no matter what picture of Paul that we see, there is no picture that makes him out to be a good-looking, like an actor. Further, according to 2 Corinthians verse 7, Paul was somebody who suffered from chronic illness all his life, and such illness that bothered him all his life probably made his physical appearance even more unattractive. We can guess how ugly Paul must have been. In seeing that people of Lystra, even after clearly witnessing that it was Paul who had preached and commanded the paralytic men to stand up, called Barnabas Zeus rather than Paul, and called Paul Hermes, the messenger of Zeus. But it is precisely here that we find the grace given to Paul. He knew all his life, every moment, that he was insignificant, that he was lacking in many ways, and therefore did not commit the foolishness of turning his eyes away from God, even for one moment. Without the words of God, he knew that he could never, with his poor abilities, escape the shackles of darkness in body and in spirit. And here is the reason that Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, confessed that, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." This was because he was able to live the life of true life. This was because he was able to live the life of true life that overcomes the darkness of sin and death by the power of the light of God's words. When he, paradoxically, he did not forget his own insignificance and his weaknesses. Pastor An Jae-kyung, who wrote God of Goho, said in that book, "A Christian is someone who becomes more weak every day. A Christian becomes weaker the more time passes." Now, these words truly reach our hearts. What about it? Don't we feel our weaknesses, our insignificance, our too apparent lacks the longer we live? At one time, it seemed as if we were able to pluck the stars from the sky. But isn't it true that we cannot do anything about truly important things? Aren't we helpless? Even though we see with our eyes that a typhoon is coming, isn't it true that we cannot make one drop of rain or one grain of rice at times of drought and famine? Isn't it true that, let alone our inability to see when a deadly pathogen is entering our body, we cannot stop a single wrinkle, which we can see with our eyes, from forming on our foreheads? Isn't it true that when death, like a flying dagger, comes to us, we will not be able to stop it, no matter what we do? If we understand this, then let us abandon the foolishness of boasting of our strength, our attractiveness. Rather, like Apostle Paul, let us boast of our weaknesses, our unattractiveness, our insignificance before God. Let us not only listen to God's words with our ears, but eat God's words and fill our innards with God's words. Let us allow God's words to wholly govern us. Let us let the light of God's light take away the shackles of darkness that imprison us. It is at this time that people of the world will see God's words through our lives and be able to believe in the words, because it is by our lives in which we eat and live God's words that the words of God will put on flesh. Let us pray. The reason that I, who professes to be a believer of God, turn my back on God's words when it comes to my daily life is because I believe I am capable, and it is because of my foolishness that trust my abilities more than the words of God. But thank you for making me confirm once again at this hour that although I may look like someone who can do all things, I am actually not capable of doing anything. I can buy a house, but not a happy family. I can buy a bed, but cannot bring good sleep. I can obtain food for my body, but cannot extend my life. Help me to remember that I am extremely finite and impotent existence. Help us to become people who become more aware of our weaknesses the more the days go by. Like Apostle Paul, may our weaknesses and our insignificance become our boasting before you. Help us to remember that the reason God gave us God's word is not because we are of some great significance, but rather because we are insignificant and are nothing to look at. May it be that we will come to be people who won't be able to stand not eating your words every day. Allow us to entrust all of ourselves to your words, so that within the light of your words, the darkness in our spirits, the darkness in our minds, the darkness in our eyes, and the darkness of our ignorance recede in the light of your words. And by experiencing this, to understand that your words are sweeter than honey by tasting it daily. Therefore, help us to live as strong Christians in God's words, paradoxically, because of our insignificance and our plainness. And through our lives lived in such a way, may the words of God incarnate and darkness of this world recede. Amen.